I'm very glad to see all who have come to the meeting this evening. Such a warm evening. All the windows are open, the fans are on, so I hope you'll not be too uncomfortable. And also welcome to those who have joined us online. You will probably be a lot more comfortable listening anyway. Now, we're going to commence the meeting tonight by singing the words of 227. 227. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away one stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. By faith I lay my hand on that dear head of thine. With broken, contrite heart I stand and there confess my sin. My soul looks back to see the burden thou didst bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and know her guilt was there. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing redeeming love. Now, 227, 227, and we'll just remain seated for our opening hymn. Let's just open the meeting with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we bow in thy presence this evening, and we thank thee for such a lovely day and for the opportunity to come together to open the Bible and to preach the gospel. We've been singing of the Saviour, and we thank thee that it was John the Baptist who pointed him out and called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we thank thee for what he did on Calvary, when there he laid down his life, and he died, as thy word says, he died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, but that on the third day God raised him from the dead. And so we thank thee tonight for a Saviour who is living and no longer dead, but risen and exalted. And as thy word says, he is seated at the right hand of God in the highest place in heaven. And in a day to come, every knee shall bow to him and confess that he is Lord. We thank thee tonight for the gospel. We thank thee that he has made provision in the gospel for all men. And we would ask tonight for help as we would seek to make the gospel known, that there might be a precious soul listening to the gospel who might realize that he died for me, and they might put their trust in him. So draw near to us and bless the meeting this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now again, we're glad to see everyone who are with us tonight, and we see some visitors from Ukraine with us. So, Dobry Vichy tonight. That means don't be falling asleep. And you can know it actually means you're welcome. So, now there's a few announcements for the hall for the incoming week. There's not actually. The announcements are there's no meetings in the hall and due to the holidays, but the next meeting will be next Lord's Day at 11 o'clock, the breaking of bread. Then at 6:30 we meet again for prayer, and the gospel next week will be taken by one of our own men again, that's Mr. John Wilkinson. And again, if the Lord be not come, you're warmly invited to come back to each and every one of these meetings. I was just thinking today, or during the week, that I have been saved for 46 years. It's hard to believe when I think back, because the night I was saved, I can remember it as clear as a bell. I've been saved for 46 years, and I have never preached the gospel on the 12th of July. Now, that's our national day, as you know, the 12th of July. And it's a day whenever we celebrate, or actually lots of people remember back to the Battle of the Boyne in 1690. And that's what they remember. And usually on the 13th, the next day, there's a mock battle in a place called Scarva, where they all dress up and have this mock battle afterwards. I've never been myself, but I know people who go every year to it. So in thinking of the gospel tonight, just the thought of a battle has been in my mind. Now, there are many battles in the Bible that we could turn to. Abraham had a great battle with the kings when he went to bring Lot back. You remember, Lot was taken by them. And then again, Israel had a great battle with the Amalekites. And that's where Moses was up on top of the mountain and they held his arms up while the battle was going on. And again, Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho was another great battle. And of course, we couldn't leave out David and Goliath. What a great battle in the Valley of Elah. Now, so there are many great battles in the Bible, but tonight I have thought of a battle that God speaks of in the book of Job. And so that's where we're going to read tonight, in the book of Job. Just at the end of the book of Job, there's a battle that God speaks of. Now, it's in a section in the book of Job where Job's three friends have all stopped speaking because they had no answer for Job's difficulties or the questions that he had. They had no answer for them. But then after they stop, God appears to Job. And in chapter 38, maybe just read that. In chapter 38 of Job, in verse 1, we read that the Lord appeared. That the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, answer thou me." And then for the next four chapters in the book of Job, God asked Job 70 questions. Now, I've counted them, and you can do it in your own time. 70 questions he put to Job, and he didn't know the answer to any one of them. And so God was teaching Job. He didn't know everything. Job did not know everything. And in fact, in chapter 41 is where we're going to read, the Lord describes to Job one of the creatures that he had made. And he challenges Job to try to capture this creature. And it's just to show Job how really weak and helpless he was in the face of such a great enemy. Now, in Job chapter 41, we'll read this. Now, the creature that God describes is called Leviathan. That's the name, Leviathan. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which you let down? Canst thou put a hook in his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him, and shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? Now, verse 12, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportions. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together with a close seal. One is so near another, no air can come in between them. And then verse 26, the sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, the habergeon, he esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. And he laughs at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreads sharp pointed things under the mire. He makes the deep to boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He makes a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things, and he is a king over all the children of pride. The Lord bless his word to us. From the description of this creature that God had made here, being fierce, made without fear, with scales that are so close together, the air couldn't even pass through them. Unassailable creature. You know, some have thought of one of the great big dinosaurs or dragons that are extinct now, but once they walked the earth, and that's the creature that is being described there. How was Job going to face such a foe? How was he going to face him? Well, in verse 8, God tells him what to do. Verse 8. He says, lay thy hand upon him, remember the battle, and do no more. In other words, just submit. Just accept that you are no match for this creature. If you lay your hand on him, the battle that will ensue, you will be destroyed in it. You're no match for him. Just submit yourself. And that's the counsel that God gives to him. And so for this reason, Leviathan and the battle with this creature, Leviathan, it represents to us a battle or a struggle with things that are far too great for us. Things that are overwhelming, that are so great, we're no match for them. And so in the gospel tonight, I was thinking just of how Leviathan reminds us of sin. And of death, and of God's judgment. Because these are things that are far too great for any of us. None of us are able for them. And if you think, and some do, that you could cheat death, or that sin is not serious, well then you've never perhaps seen them as God sees them. As a Leviathan that we are no match for. And so in the gospel tonight, as we think about these great issues of sin and of death and of the judgment of God, what are we to do? How do we deal with those things which are so far greater than us? Well, I think we listen to what God says. And I'm going to take up the words that God said to Job and to preach him in the gospel today. Just these three things that God said. Lay your hand upon him. Remember the battle. And then do no more. So tonight I would simply want to preach the gospel on these three things. Now, Lay your hand upon him points to a person, him. Remember the battle points to a place, Calvary. And do no more points to a price which has already been paid, a finished work that's already done. Now, the person is the Lord Jesus Christ. The place is Calvary. And the price that has been paid is our Savior's precious blood, which was shed there on Calvary's tree. So if you were to summarize the message that I want to speak upon tonight, it would be just three simple things. Lay your hand upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the battle, what took place at Calvary. And do no more. That is, no more work can be done other than what he has done. It's a finished work. He has completed it. And God wants you to do no more but trust him. Just believe upon him and rest on what he has done. So those are the three things I want to speak about tonight. Lay your hand upon him. You say, what confidence do we have that it is all done and that sin and death and the judgment of God can all be dealt with? Well, the confidence that we have is based on the person that God says we are to lay our hand upon. It's based on the person that we are to lay our hand upon. Now, in the Bible, whenever you read about laying on of hands, it always has to do with confidence. Even the very first mention of laying your hand on an animal, and it usually was an offering that was brought to God, the priest had to lay his hand upon it. And in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4, God says that he was to lay his hand upon it and it would be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. He had great confidence. And so whenever he laid his hand upon that offering that was brought, he had tremendous confidence that God has told me to bring this. And he laid his hand on it, confessed his sin, and God said it would be forgiven him. That was the confidence that he had. Now, he couldn't just lay his hand on anything or any animal. I mean, he couldn't take a dog or a cat or a horse. It had to be a God-appointed animal or a God-chosen animal. And God had told them the particular animals they were permitted to bring. And often it was a lamb. It sometimes was a goat or a bullock. But it was a God-chosen and a God-appointed offering. And when he laid his hand upon that which God had approved, and he was really saying, accept this for me. Take this in my place. And God said, it will be accepted for you. Now that's a lovely picture. That's the Old Testament. What happened in the Old Testament? But that is a lovely picture, isn't it, of the one who actually came to deal with sin and with death and with the judgment of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it wasn't just anyone who could have gone to Calvary to die for us. It had to be one who was without spot, one who was sinless. It had to be one whom God had chosen, whom God had appointed. And we know that at his baptism, heaven was opened and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, sometimes we sing, no angel could our place have taken, highest of the high though he. And again we sing, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. And I was just reading Psalm 49 before we come out. No man, I think it means no mere man, can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. But you see, the Lord Jesus, while he was a man, he wasn't a mere man because he had two natures. He was the Son of Man, but also he was the Son of God. So this person who came, who was chosen by God and appointed by God, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the person. Lay thy hand upon him. God chose him even before the world was made. It's a remarkable thing that in Peter that we read that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, this was also a very important feature of the offering, that it had to be without blemish and without spot. You couldn't just bring something that was cut, something that was broken, or something that was sick. It had to be, in a sense, a perfect offering in order to deal with our sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why he's the only Savior, because he's the only person who ever lived who never sinned. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him, the Bible says, is no sin. And so therefore, he could become that perfect sacrifice. That's why God says, lay your hand upon him. Now, it's not physical, obviously. It's by faith. By faith, you associate yourself with Christ. He is the one whom God appointed, whom God sent. Lay thy hand upon him. And then remember the battle. That's what God said. Remember the battle. Luke chapter 23. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. You know, there was a great battle that took place at Calvary. The Lord Jesus had many enemies at Calvary. The wickedness of man was there. The devil and all his angels were there. They were against him. But the greatest enemy that the Lord Jesus had to face at Calvary, it was our sin. It was our guilt. Because that needed to be dealt with. And there was no one else could do it except him. And so at Calvary, the Lord Jesus went there and he fought a fight. And he fought for us. He fought a battle for us. And in this battle, he stood in the middle place. He stood between God and men. He stood between guilty sinners and a holy God. And he fought for us. He fought to protect us and to shelter us from the wrath and the judgment of God. And so a tremendous battle took place at Calvary. The wrath of God came down upon him and he sheltered us when he died for us there upon Calvary's cross. Now Peter writes, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And we sometimes sing, whatever curse was mine he bore, the wormwood and the gall, there in that lone mysterious hour, our curse he bore, my cup he drained it all. And so remember the battle means get occupied with Calvary. I've heard a number of testimonies where people have said, I just can't seem to get saved. I just can't seem to work out what I have to do. You know, what I have to do, and that maybe is the problem, but they say, I've tried believing, and I just don't know what to do. And then they said, and then I just sat and thought about Calvary. I turned my thoughts to Calvary. And they get occupied not with themselves, but with the one who there upon the cross died for them. Put away their sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that's whenever they got salvation. It was by contemplating what was done at Calvary. Remember the battle. That was a battle that we could never have fought. If you meet your sin, that will bring you down to hell for all eternity. You'll never be able to exhaust the wrath of God. But there upon Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus died for us. He bore the punishment and penalty of our sins there upon Calvary's cross in that tremendous battle. So remember the battle. Lay your hand upon him. Remember the battle. And God says, do no more. This is what God says. Do no more. That is, do no more work. Do no more work, because the work has been done. The work has been finished. It is complete. Now, what an insult to actually try to add to something that has been done and complete. And we often speak about, you know, a painter painting and he's finished it and somebody else comes and takes the brush and tries to add a little. Tremendous insult when he says the work's finished if somebody else tries to add to it. And so whenever we try to add our good works to what Christ has done, it's a tremendous insult. God says, do no more. Why? Because it's all been done. The Lord Jesus on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." Just means it's done. He has completed everything that God required for our to satisfy God on account of sin. It is done. You say, well, how do you know actually that he has won? How do you know he won? Okay, he was in a battle. How do you know he won the battle? Well, that's simple. God raised him from the dead. You see, God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. That's how you know. That's the proof that it's all done. That's the proof that God is satisfied, because God raised him from the dead and he is now a prince and a savior. And the Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him. So when you lay your hand upon him, you're really saying, accept him for me. What he has done for me, I could never do for myself. Lay your hand upon him. Remember the battle. And then the Bible simply says, do no more. Sin, death, judgment, these great overwhelming issues that we can never deal with ourselves. He has dealt with at Calvary's cross. He has put away sin, the Bible says, by the sacrifice of himself. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus, he said himself, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. So there be no one in heaven unless they're trusting Christ. No one. Be in hell for all eternity. You say, well, what are we to do? I think it's, what are we to do? Lay your hand upon him, the Lord Jesus. Remember the battle, what he has done for you at Calvary. And do no more. Don't try to add to it. Just accept what God says. Now, if God is satisfied, could you not be satisfied? Could you not just rest where God rests? The Savior has done the work and God says, do no more. Just rest there and trust the Savior for eternity. Now, just I hope you remember the message tonight. It's a simple message. I hope you'll think upon it. Lay your hand upon him, the Lord Jesus. Remember the battle, Calvary. Do no more. Just trust him. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus for all the work that the Savior did at Calvary. We thank thee for the tremendous foes that he fought. We remember our sin was there. We remember our guilt was there. And we remember that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank thee he was able to do it. And we thank that he was willing to do it. And we bless thee that he finished the work which thou gavest him to do. And thou art satisfied and have raised him from the dead. We thank that he is a living Savior. Many in the meeting and online have trusted him. But we pray for any who as yet have perhaps just never realized the seriousness of their sin and of death. And what that means, the judgment of God, that tonight they might realize there is one who is able to deal with such a great issue and has dealt with it at Calvary's cross. And we pray, indeed, our precious soul might trust the Savior even tonight. Amen. Now, we'll just sing just a verse in the chorus of a hymn. Just let me get down to the back. And it's 231. 231. Nothing either great or small, nothing, sin or no, Jesus did it all, long, long ago. Just maybe verse 1 in the chorus, and then our meeting is over, and thank you very much for coming.
Nothing either great or small, nothing, sin or no, Jesus did it. Yeah.